The opinions stated in this podcast do not reflect the opinions of the Elestal or SIUE as a whole. Welcome back to the Elestal After Hours. I'm Hannah Ledford, and today I'm very excited because I get to introduce another new Elestal employee. Joining me today, I have...
Hi, my name is Sierra Folkerts, and I am a new reporter for the Elestal.
Yay!
Woo-hoo. I'm Brandy Span, also, the opinion editor.
Very happy to have you, too. So how have you liked your time at the Elestal so far?
So far, it's been really good. The people are so fun and just nice, and they've always made sure to, like, include everyone whenever it comes to just any activities. And one thing that I've learned from it is just, like, how to understand the realm of news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something that we talked about last week with two of our other reporters was people not responding to their emails. Have you been a victim of this?
I've been a victim of this in my recent story that I'm working on right now, which is covering the topic of gender-neutral bathrooms, which can be controversial just because people have very differing opinions on this. So I know that I've contacted the Edwardsville High School principal, and he didn't respond to my emails. I know I've contacted, like, the other board members, and they've just, like, referred me to different people. They eventually got back to me, but it was just very delayed. And it was just very frustrating to work with under deadlines.
I used to go to EHS.
Oh, really? Yeah. Did you like it there?
I mean, it's not bad, but it's like, I don't think anyone has a good high school experience.
That's fair.
So, like, it's fine, I guess. And I was recently just, like, looking because I saw as soon as I graduated, they're, like, upgrading the school and, like, doing the bathrooms. But they're also, like, adding a whole new section of, like, the, like, common area. Why couldn't you guys have done this while I was here?
Right. My high school did the same thing. We just got, like, a $2 million gym added on. And, like, yeah. I mean, I didn't use the gym for anything, but it's, like, such a cool addition.
You know? I know.
It's awesome.
I would have liked to be there for that. Yeah. So how's that story been going so far?
So I finally finished it, and I'm still, like, going over through, like, the copy editing process. And so I know that one thing that I struggled with a lot in my story was just to get opinions from both sides, because I didn't want to seem biased or only show one side. But a lot of it was concentrated on how, like, SIUE wants, like, more gender neutral bathrooms. But I was struggling to find people that were uncomfortable or maybe were confident enough to have their name put with their opinion in a paper. So I think that's one thing that I struggled with a lot. So once it started getting to, like, the boiling point of, like, getting to that deadline, I didn't really have enough sources that show the other side. So I had to change my angle really fast, because EHS had a board meeting Monday over the whole entire decision. So I wrote my piece on that instead, and my sources were right there, and it was just great.
Well, that's cool. I know one thing about EHS is, like, it's a nice school, but those bathrooms are terrible. So, like, it's nice that they're going to be, because they're not just adding the gender neutral ones, aren't they, like, kind of revamping all of them?
I'm not sure if they're revamping all of them, what they've told me. So it's called, like, the Common Expansion Plan. And so it only just does the common area, and they're going to transform it into this place called, like, Tiger Bites. So it's going to be an area where basically people, like, students can go and, like, grab a snack. They can study. This is where, like, they could have events there. Yeah. And just that's, they said that it was only going to be one, like, bathroom area that was going to be gender neutral bathrooms. So I didn't know that in advance, because I would be looking at different news sources that have covered this, and they never really mentioned that detail. So
that's kind of interesting to me, because, like, I don't know if you guys have ever been in there, but that's a huge school. And, like, if someone is only comfortable, like, using the gender neutral bathrooms and they're only in the commons, like, if you're on one side of the school, there is no way to get there in 4 minutes, which is, like, what the passing period is.
Right.
Like, there's Absolutely no way.
Yeah. I feel like bathrooms are a problem in a lot of schools, just education settings in general. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that kind of reaches out to a lot of different aspects of life, you know, like office buildings and things. But like the bathrooms at the elementary school that I went to don't even have mirrors in them, which is just odd to me. I feel like when I'm washing my hands, like I want to like see myself. That's weird.
That would make me feel like I was in like prison or something.
So it's just a blank wall.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I've been put in the corner. Like I'm in
timeout. You go to wash your hands and you look up and it's just a wall.
Right.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
So I saw that in like one of the news articles that I was reading, just researching on it. And I don't remember which source it was from, but they were talking about how they don't want a lot of mirrors in the bathrooms because they want to try and like discourage people from taking pictures of themselves in the bathrooms and all that with like body image. I'm not too sure.
I thought that issue was because it was like privacy for other people that might accidentally be in the photo. Like you don't want to take pictures of people in the bathroom.
Yeah.
But I could see how there are other. Okay. I don't know how I feel about that.
Also, like, what if I go and I, like, want to make sure I look okay? And, like, what if I look crazy and then I don't know because I can't see in the mirror?
Right. Like, I just want to pat my hair down a little bit.
Yeah.
And, like, get some marker off my face or something.
Get a little water in there.
Oh, my roommate yesterday, she said she walked around on campus for a good, like, hour or two with charcoal on her face. And nobody told her. She felt so betrayed. She was like, I talk to people I would consider friends. No one told me.
That's so sad. So, Brandy, I'm going to need you to play Anna Wintour for a second because I know that you were in attendance of the Black Girls Rock fashion show this weekend.
Oh my gosh. It was incredible. Let me just say that. I didn't really know what to expect because I guess they do this every year, but I had never gone. So this was the 5th annual spring fashion show that they've hosted. Mm. And you go in there and it was in the Meridian Ballroom. And they had, like, pink and purple lights up. So the room was, like, incredibly lit. And, like, I don't know how to explain, like, what the vibe was in the room. But it was awesome. It was really exciting. And I sat down and I was, like, ready and so excited for the show to start. And then they came out and they did, like, a dance performance. So it wasn't just, like, fashion.
Mm, it was like a whole performance.
It was a performance, for sure. They broke the show into 4 different sections. So there was, it started with the theme of Black alternative, and then segued into Black culture, and then Black corporate and vacation vibes. So they had like different sections for different like types of fashion. So I guess some of the looks were like handmade by the models and students themselves, but the emphasis of the show was mostly on styling. So it was just how to put different pieces together. There were a couple things that were crocheted, and I'm sure some things that were sewn. I don't know exactly which ones were handmade and which ones weren't, but yeah, it was awesome. Black alternative obviously had a lot of like black leather, like chain. We had gold hoop earrings, some fur. There was a piece at the very end that was like an all white outfit, which was kind of a really cool way to end it since most of it had been like black.
Yeah.
So the white like was like this shocking like change into the black culture section, and it was like this white fur hat, and it was like a tank top, and it had like a star on it. Oh, it was just incredible. And you know, the model was like voguing down the aisle.
Love that.
Yeah, they did a lot of like normal model walking, but also they had like personality to it. Like it was choreographed, so they would have spots where the models would like stop together and like interact. They did a lot of like, they would like slowly lean the upper half of their body backwards, and like everybody would cheer, and it was incredible. I don't know. Yeah, I would just say if you have the chance next year, definitely go, because it was awesome to see.
What was your favorite outfit?
That's a good question. Come back to me about that. I'm going to sit here and think for a second.
Okay.
Come back. Oh, actually, no, I have it. Okay. I think she was wearing like bell-bottom jeans, and then the top was kind of like a, it was just like very 70s. It was kind of like these like orange tinted square glasses and this like top that was like tied in the center and then like flared sleeves, and it had like a floral orange and green design. I think she was wearing heels. I don't know. Yeah,
that sounds amazing.
I think it was in the black culture section. But I would say that black corporate was my favorite, because they had a lot of like beiges and black and white and brown at the beginning, and then it got a little bit more colorful, and there was like a lot of texture to it and a lot of like movement to the outfits, and that's where the show really kind of went from like classic, like, legacy art and style to, like a little bit more fun, like, vacation vibes. You know, it was, like, that segue mm-hmm. into it. So, yeah, that was probably my fave.
That sounds so cool. So, was it all, like, just students?
I believe so. All the models were students. Mm-hmm. And it's, Black Girls Rock is, like, a student-run organization. So, like, the president and the vice president and the MCs, I believe, were all students. I think there was a DJ that they hired externally. I'm not sure about that one, though. Don't quote me. And then they had, like, businesses kind of set up in the back that was kind of like a market,
ooh.
What have you. I believe that some of those were student businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Just being in the room was mm-hmm. so fun.
Did you feel like you were there, like, not judging, but, like, critiquing the fashion?
It did kind of feel like Fashion Week, like, because I had to write a story about it. Like, yeah. I had my notebook out, and, like, my roommates were making fun of me. They were, like, I, like, look at the stage, and then I, like, scribble something down, you know?
Yeah.
But I did feel like I was, like, experiencing something so cool. Like,
yeah.
It was just, incredible to be, like, a member of the audience, like, watching this, like, amazing performance going on.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to a fashion show before?
I have been to a fashion show, but not in the sense where it's, like, professional.
Oh, okay.
I remember it was, like, more for older ladies.
Aww.
And it was just, like, it was very cute because it was just these older ladies that would dress up and, like, sponsor boutiques, and it was just for, like, a church organization to raise money, and it was just, like, a dinner, and then you watch, like, older ladies go on, and then they just promote the outfits that they're wearing. It was really cute because all of them were...
I did something similar like that. I think it was either, like, Macy's or JCPenney or something, but they had this day where kids could come in and try on clothing, and
were
then we
you
just
a model?
Marched around the store. I was a model.
Oh my god!
I was wearing this, like, thin blue, like, ruffly shirt. It might have been a dress though, because I don't remember what the pants were, but it might have been, like, white leggings or something. I don't know. But oh,
dang.
We just walked around the aisles, but I, like, felt like I was
yeah,
on the runway.
No,
you know?
You were a model.
Yeah.
Yay, women. Love women. It is Women's History Month, and I have completed my goal that I set early on, which was, this month I'm only having girls on the podcast. And
woo!
I did it!
Yes.
I'm so proud of myself. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to make it work. But I do have one woman that I want to highlight because she's really cool and awesome. Okay, so there's this woman. Her name is Jasmine Paris. And she is the first woman to complete the Barkley Marathon. And it's been around since 1995, and there have only been, it's happened every year except for maybe a year for COVID, and there's only been 17 finishers.
Wow.
And so now she's one of them. And this marathon is insane. So how it started was the guy who assassinated Martin Luther King Jr., he was in jail, and then he escaped, and he was like, escaping, running, whatever, and he didn't make it that far in, like, the span of, like, 4 days or something. So this one guy, he only made, like, 9 miles in, like, 4 days.
Wow.
So this guy was like, I want to see, like, what's the absolute maximum that someone can run in, like, 4 days.
What?
Essentially. So it's 4 days straight of running.
Dude.
Four straight days.
Like, no sleep?
No sleep. I mean, unless you don't want to finish.
Wow.
And you can't, like, register it. They don't have a website or anything. It's, like, very secretive. So, like, all the people are, like, gathered right before it starts, but no one knows when it starts. And you'll know when it starts when you hear this guy who will blow a conch shell. And that's
wow.
when it starts. So that's when
okay.
you start running. And then when you get to the checkpoints, you have your number, right? There's books at the checkpoints, and you have to get your page number and rip it out of the book. And so that's how they know that you actually, like,
made
did
it to the checkpoint
and
wow.
like finished it. So it's extremely insane, and it's extremely grueling, and she finished, which is amazing.
Shout out to her.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is there any sort of, like, reward for that? Like, money or just, I would want some compensation.
Some
I know
compensation. Wow.
Something.
I just looked up, what do you win when you win the Barkley Marathon or you finish, and it said you get to stop and sleep.
that would be you get to stop a pretty running. Good reward at that point, I won't lie.
Yeah, so it's 5 20 to 25 mile loops, and it's on a mountain.
Ew.
So there's like elevation and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Goodness.
That sounds like the nightmare of cross country.
Yeah, I did do a color run when I was a kid where they would, like, you wear all white and then they throw the powder at you. That was really fun. And at the end of it, we got some extra powder in bags, so we took it home and we were like, we can have our own color run.
Aww.
But then I, like, remember really, really wanting to save it for, like, when the time was right to do the color run, and then it sat in the cabinet for years. We never touched it.
Well, it's not ready yet. It's not right. Time yet.
It's not time.
Yeah.
Tori wrote an opinion about April Fool's Day. So
that's coming up.
Yes. If you're interested in reading about kind of a little bit of the history of it, definitely check out the opinion page. But she came to the conclusion that we absolutely should not be celebrating April Fools. Aww. And pulling pranks anymore. And she makes a good argument because it does usually just result in temporary joy for the person who pulls the prank and public humiliation for the victim. So, I mean, obviously it depends on the extent of the joke, but
yeah,
I don't know, be nice to people on April Fool's Day is the lesson.
I feel like for me, April Fool's Day is just a day to like lie a little bit, you know.
Whenever I was younger, I used to love April Fool's Day, and so they were like little kid type of pranks, and they were very bad. So I remember like a couple of times, so my older sister, she would always leave her shoes out in the hallway, so it's very lame. All I did was just, like, get duct tape, like, roll it up in a ball,
mm-hmm.
and then I just stuck it in her shoes. And then I come home. My whole bed is flipped over.
Oh. What?
Like, she flipped the mattress over, like, comforter, everything. Like, all my sheets are, like, upside down. She took it from, like, 1 to 100.
She did.
And I'm like, Mom.
That's funny.
That's a good idea.
That's kind of harmless. And it's between...
That's harmless, yeah.
You said siblings, right?
Yeah.
It's sibling pranks.
Yeah. I was in, like, second grade, though. How was I about to flip that mattress back over?
How old was she at the time?
So she's, like, 5 years, so... She was in seventh grade, and I was in second grade.
That's so petty. Like...
It was funny, though, now that I'm thinking of it.
Oh, there was one time that we pulled a prank on my younger sister. We took a bowl of cereal and put her spoon in it and, like, froze it. And then when she came in to the kitchen for breakfast that morning, we, like, handed her this bowl, like, here's your cereal. And she couldn't pick the spoon up. And she just started crying. Like, that was her response. That made me feel really bad.
That would have been me as a kid if someone did something like that to me. Like, why are you doing that?
She just wanted breakfast.
Oh,
she was really young. Like, I don't even think she was in school at that point.
Aww.
No, she had to have been because she came to the kitchen for breakfast. But
yeah.
Very, very young.
Yeah. See, I think stuff like that is, like, wonderful. And I think that that's very much in the spirit of April Fools. And I think if it's stuff like that that's, like, funny, then I think it's okay.
Right. Harmless.
Yeah.
Addison Rae and her scream on Charlie XCX's song, pretty good. Pretty
awesome.
I love that.
Every time I hear it, it reminds me of Candace from Phineas and Ferb.
Oh, yeah. I've heard people saying that. I do think that Addison Rae has a very interesting vibe, and I'm very excited to see where she goes. I hadn't, like, really been, like, interested in following her until now. I don't know what changed my mind, but maybe it was that scream. It really just connected with me.
I like her, and I think that she's iconic, and I think that people are really quick to hate on, especially, like, women on social media.
Oh, definitely.
I don't know. I think she's nice. I think she's got a fun little vibe, and I think she kind of plays into the thing that Trisha Paytas kind of plays into. Where have you seen that video where she's like, someone's like, stay hydrated, Addison, and she goes, hi.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh my God, she's so dumb. It's like, no, it's a bit.
Mm-hmm,
she's doing a bit. What do you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
like, with the whole, like, what did Trisha Paytas do?
Someone asked her, they were playing a game, and someone asked her, what is the thinnest layer of the earth called? And she goes,
the thinnest layer of the earth?
Correct.
Oh, thank you.
And then he goes, sorry? So I think Addison Rae has kind of the same vibe or like kind of the same energy.
Yeah.
And I think that's wonderful.
Oh, she's incredibly talented.
Yeah.
Definitely very good at like reaching an audience.
Yeah.
I have just recently started following her TikTok, so.
Well, it's time to do obsessions now.
Woohoo! I will start by saying,
I hope that something has made you happy recently.
That's a great way to word that.
Yeah. Actually.
I've been listening to this new artist. Her name is Blonde Shell. And specifically, the songs Sepsis and Salad. And they're really good. I haven't done too much of a deep dive into the lyrics or like the backstory or why it's written, but I just like to listen to them. So check them out. And I just finished reading Oranges Are Not the Only Fruit by Jeanette Winterson, which was pretty good. I did put it in my Goodreads, but I didn't rate it. But I was asked to rate it, and I would give it a 4 out of 5. I think that the conclusion was about 5 pages before the actual ending, so I feel like it would have been more powerful to conclude with a sentence earlier in the novel.
What's it about?
It is about, I think it's set in England. It's about a girl that is like being fostered, I think, and raised in a house with a extremely evangelical mother. And then it's whenever she realizes that she's into women, she gets like ridiculed by the entire community, and there's a bunch of like, what's the thing called where they tried to get the devil out of you?
Oh, an exorcism?
Exorcisms. Yeah, there's like 3 of those. It's like really sad, really scary. I had to put it down a couple times because it just like,
oh, it's
heartbreaking.
Oh.
Well, not like scary, but like sad.
Oh, okay.
Sad type of scary, because you know it happens everywhere. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just about her like trying to find herself, and then like realizing how much of herself is tied up in her mother, mm-hmm. and like their relationship. It's really good. It's nice. Pretty short. I think like only 170, 180 pages.
Oh, so. Wow.
Was that like based off of a true story? Do you know?
I'm not sure, but I'm sure it's entirely realistic. Mm-hmm. So
I know, what is it, whenever like at the EHS school board meeting, there was this one student. There were actually 2 students that went up and talked. And it kind of reminded me of the whole situation, but mm-hmm. there was one that was transgender, that transitioned from female to male, and he was talking about how like there's like this bullying that mm-hmm. he feels that goes on. There was like a teacher from Belleville High School that talked about how there was a lot of bullying back then. This was in like early 2000s or so, and how it was just very scrutinized. Mm-hmm. To be any sort of like trans or a part of the LGBTQ community. There were just a lot of bold people, mm-hmm. just in general, on both sides. And it was crazy because the whole entire crowd, like you could hear who was for who.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be people just clapping and yelling like, intelligence, intelligence. There was one individual that came up there and was like, this is pure evil. I don't want my tax money going towards this.
Wow.
But it was crazy.
Yeah.
It's such a tense environment, you know? And like so many people, like, I don't know why so many people that aren't really affected by it feel so.
Yeah. So strongly about it.
Yeah.
And they have to like voice how strongly they feel about it.
I know like the board, from my point of view, it seems like they have already came to a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like the people that didn't want the bathrooms, the plans were already in motion. There was nothing much that they can do except for speak their piece at the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're going to be really loud about it, too, is the thing.
Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Yeah. Is there anything that you're obsessed with?
Okay, so I was thinking on this, and I wouldn't say it's crazy, but, like, I love the sound of just a keyboard typing.
Oh.
And I love doing typing tests because I just love the feeling of it, and it's maybe a weird obsession or so. But, like, I'll have, like, TikToks that pull up of just, like, keyboard sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, my old roommate, she was talking to me. She's just like, Sierra, you used to, like, type in the middle of the night, and it would just tickle my brain.
Yeah.
But that's really it. Like, I'll just do typing tests whenever I'm bored, not mm-hmm. even to, like, improve my speed or anything, but just, like, as a way to fidget or so because I'm bored.
Yeah. I've always, like, really been into those, like, like older keyboards that you can buy online to like connect to like a tablet or your laptop or something that have like clunky. The really deep keys. Yeah. So you like have to hit them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Something that I love is I have long nails a lot of the time, but whenever I have really short nails, then whenever I type, it's like I can actually like touch the keys.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. So it's like a random thing, but it's just like really nice like be able to use my hands. Yeah. You know. My obsession this week is something that I've been watching a lot recently, which is it's this show on A&E, but I watched the like compilation clips on YouTube. It's called Airline, and it's just about people like freaking out at airports cuz they're mad about stuff.
Oh.
And it's really entertaining because this was all like pre-9/11. Before, like, there was really, really strict rules and everyone was like, okay, we gotta act a certain way in a airport.
Mm-hmm.
And so people just, like, were so rude back then. And they were so, like, not nice to the workers. And it's, like, insane.
Yeah.
Like, there were no thank yous at all.
Well, I mean, has that really changed? I'm sure it's gotten better, but those people definitely still exist.
Yeah. I also just feel like the workers have had to get more, like, I don't know what the word is. Not mean, but like no nonsense kind of where they're not going to put up with that anymore.
Yeah, and I feel like they're better supported.
Yeah. But that's really funny and I really like watching those.
Sounds like an awesome show.
Or it's like if you're drinking, you're drunk, you can't get on the plane. So they get denied boarding and then they get really mad about that.
Mm.
And it's really entertaining. So last week I asked our new reporters who their favorite Alestle employee is, and I have to ask you the same thing because I want to know.
Okay, here's the thing. I don't know everyone at the Alestle because I'm trying to like get into the office to like be able to familiarize myself with everyone. This is like asking a mother like, who's your favorite child?
Yeah.
We all secretly know that you have a favorite, but who, you know, you won't say it.
Right.
I genuinely, like, genuinely, I haven't been able to really form an idea because I've, what is it? It's like my second or third week or so. And I just, like, I literally just met Max, like, just last week. And I've never seen him ever since. I didn't know Pedro worked with us.
Yeah, it'll take some time. I feel like because we have a really full staff right now, so there's a lot
really
of people.
Really full, yeah.
Yeah, it took me a while, too.
Mm-hmm.
Easily months.
Because I remember whenever I was applying for the Alestle, it was, like, at the very end of it, like, the deadline. Knowing me, I just procrastinate on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, like, texting Matthew because I know him from, like, from being a part of a different organization with them. And, like, Matthew, is the position still open? And then I know Chloe through other classes, and I'm like, Chloe, is the position still open? She's just like, yeah, it's still open, but you don't have much time. And I'm like, okay, please let someone know that I'm applying. I will be there. My application will be in there. I just have to update the cover letter and my resume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then I finally, like, threw it in there. And then that's whenever Dylan was giving me the rundown, like, okay, you need to, like, interview someone. So I interviewed our multimedia editor. I was thinking it was going to be a 30-minute interview. It turned into like an hour like long podcast, basically.
Yeah. Wow.
It was really funny, but I got to know them. I haven't seen him, though, like ever since then.
Would it be easier for me to ask you your least favorite Alestle employee?
Oh, gosh. Whoa. I feel like that's worse because I don't know people.
Well, thank you guys for being on this episode. Happy Women's History Month.
Why do eggs like April Fool's Day?
Why?
They love practical yolks.